Thank you for choosing to listen to this talk by Pastor Eddie, designed to develop you. We appreciate your interest in your personal development. This talk can help you in many ways, so pay close attention to the underlying principles in this message. As you listen, think about how you can use this message as part of your development process for you and your circle of influence. The first commitment that Pastor Eddie has is to grow you, because if he can grow you, he can grow your circle of influence. Now let's join Pastor Eddie as he teaches this all-important topic.
Christmas is a fun time for you all. Mark chapter 14. It says, now the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper. I like that. Right there we see the sharing nature of Jesus. He was reclining at a table and in the home of someone called Simon the leper. I wonder why they call him Simon the leper. Maybe why did they just call him Simon the cured? The guy had stayed so long as a leper that they reminded him. His name, his problem became his identity. Amen. But right there, church, we see the very nature of Jesus. The Bible says to recline means that he was very comfortable in this man's house. Question number one is, are people comfortable around you? You know, Mr. Christian, Mrs. Christian, are people comfortable around you? How many people are comfortable around you? And how many people will recline on a seat at your own house? We're talking about giving. We're talking about sharing. We're talking about giving. And every time I talk about our faith and I talk about giving and sharing our faith, every time I stand to preach, I always want you to think within the context of proper disciples and Christians, not what we see around us. Not what you see around us. Proper disciples. I want our church to be the church of proper Christians and disciples. Proper Christians and disciples is very nice. That's the movement of the Acts of the Apostles. When the people are like that, you cannot stop them. You see, the first thing the Bible talks about, they had one thing in common. And if you see Jesus too, when he was among his people, you couldn't tell who is Jesus and who is not Jesus. Not this one that when pastor is coming, they say pastor is coming. From 1 mile, we know that pastor is coming because he arrives the way the president arrives. Isn't it? Exactly. Bells and whistles. If there are no bells, pastor can't come out. Gotta be weasel, man. You know, I said pastor service one time when the pastor is coming out. The pastor wants to pray. Pastor will appear. As he said, he's going inside the same gospel, You know. So the Bible says some gave us a hint as to the reason for their force. The world could not handle them. He said they had all things in common. And they were sharing with one another. They all had one thing in common. I said they were all in what? In one accord. They were in one accord. And that is, they were all in agreement. What were they in agreement with? They were in agreement about the gospel of Jesus. And what it represented. And the need of the hour. The need to extend this message beyond the four walls they dwelt in. So they were all of one mind. The reason why we are together, it was not the church we see today. The church we see sometimes doesn't have Jesus in it anymore. The fellowship and the cooperative and the cooperation and the business dealings and the inside the church is more than the emphasis on the gospel. That's why there's always fight. Because by the time you remove gospel from any relationship is fight. Are you listening? So The faith we have is the faith of giving and sharing. That is nothing else. He said, we give and share. We give and share on one platform, the platform of the gospel of Jesus. The blood of Jesus binds you and I together. I call you brother, you call me brother. That this man, Jesus sent, God sent him. He came and he gave his only begotten son. And the son came and gave his life. And we received the life of Christ and we are giving the same to many. That is true disciple. So we see here the very nature of the Father, of Jesus. He says, so while he was in Bethany, reclining in the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, the man who was comfortable enough to hang around with outcasts. Again, that's another rarity. Comfortable enough to hang around with the less privileged. Comfortable enough. In other words, he wasn't really associating himself with. He wasn't class conscious. He wasn't class conscious, church. He wasn't postcode conscious. He wasn't car conscious. He wasn't career conscious. He wasn't job conscious. You understand? He wasn't. The Bible says that when they came to arrest him, they needed to point him out because everybody looked like him. He was like every other person. He was like a regular bloke down the road. So you couldn't identify him. He lived among his own people. He was so accessible. And then everyone, they all have the same thought and pattern. So when he comes to look, we don't want to go and carry Mr. James. So look, show us Jesus. In fact, the rogue told them, if you go in there, you can't tell, we're all alike. So and this is how you're going to identify him. I will go there because I can spot him. When I'm in that congregation, I can spot him. You know, so I know the lingo, I know the language, and just watch me. Because if you go, you just go and kill the wrong person. But later, we don't want to get this one wrong. Because that 30 shekels of silver, I'm not giving it back. There's no refund policy on this one. So just let me go and I will kiss him. You know? And then he went. And then the guy went and then he kissed him. And that's how they knew he was the one. That's how they knew he was the one. That's how they knew he was the one. That is the pressing of Jesus. That's how they knew he was the one. Wherever you go, and that just talks about the spirit of humility, you know? And he was he gave of himself to sit down and recline in the house of the way he was reclining on that chair, you would have thought that Simon was a Pharisee. He was a leper, man. He was a leper. He was a leper. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then in the home of a man named Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. Why is this woman lavishing everything on this man? And they rebuked her harshly. Stop wasting this money. First of all, the jar itself was a very expensive jar. The second thing is that the oil itself was expensive. And in those days, the people saved up to buy expensive oil for funerals and to anoint dead bodies. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray Jesus of them because that was the last straw for him. Yeah, the last straw. Yeah. I've had enough of that. I've just had enough. This oversimplicity is too much. I have had enough. I'm going to have to sell this man. Amen. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. You see, it sounds like the present day church. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. Praise the Lord. Let me ask your neighbor, are you a giver? Let me ask your neighbor, are you a giver? Amen. Amen. You know, the world cannot understand us at times. You know why the world cannot understand us at times? Because in the world, we are trained to take care of number one. It's a shame that sometimes when you look at the body of Christ, look at church, right? It doesn't break my heart too much, because I know that the church of God is not for perfect people. We are all moving towards perfection. But in the world, see, the world is groomed to always take care of number one. That's the philosophy. Take care of, get as much as you can, and then can all you get and sit on the can. It's true. It's a philosophy that puts so much emphasis on pound sterling and dollars. You know, like my friend would say, dollars. You know, my friend would say, yeah, he said he had a lot of dollars. You know, well, the way the world think, they always think about worth. You know, how much is it worth? How much is it worth? Every time you appear, I wish this doesn't happen in the Christian environment, but it does. It does. Segmentation and slicetation, if there's any word like that, you know, profiling, and you know, and that's not the nature of Christ. It's not the nature of Christ. So you see, how much, what job does he do? What job does she do? How much does he earn? What job does she, what, you know, we that's the philosophy of the world. That's a comes in. The world does not understand us because we come across the generous bunch. Christ-centered people in a self-centered world are always difficult to understand. What did I say? Write down that one. Christ-centered people in a self-centered world are difficult to understand. You see? So some people will never understand, will never be convinced that you can do anything without gain. But that's what God has called you and I to do. I mean, if you try and think of it from people's perspective, we understand. Why will people come to a church on a Sunday morning and then worship God? Why would people, after all that, in spite of all the pressures in the world, why will you come and say you are giving a tithe of what you earn? Why? Why? Why will Christians get so involved in the lives of others? Why? It's very difficult to understand. Very difficult to understand. So we understand. I understand when non-Christians don't understand us. I understand that. It's okay. Because in their world, they come from a materialistic world. But they don't understand. They can never understand that. But why do we do all this ourselves? Why? We do it because of one thing, I hope. Why will you give 10% of what you give as a tithe? Why? Why are you here this Friday? Why are you here in spite of your busy schedule? Why? Why will you come? Why will you come for the Christmas party tomorrow? And by the way, when you are coming, invite somebody. Because it's a very nice time to share Jesus with somebody. After all, you are not the one doing the cooking. I thought I should mention that. But why? Why will you come on Sunday? Some people come on first service, they come on second service, some people say first and second, some say two or three. Why? But I want to tell you why, I hope. It's because of your love for Jesus. People may never understand how much you love Jesus. It's because of your love for him. What he has done for us. The more we understand what he has done for us, the more we want to give. The more we want to give. You know, so giving is always a reflection of intense desire, of appreciation and love. Amen. Praise the Lord. That is the reason. So first of all, you may not even have any money, but you give yourself first. You give yourself. And you give yourself just by showing up. That's it. Why? The love of God. The love. Why? Because he's truly our everything. So this Christmas, we understand, you know, why many people are celebrating and buying gifts. We understand that he came to, the mission was born to die. We know what's going on now because we are spiritually conscious. That's why we are celebrating this Christmas. We know that this is he that was given to the world to die for us. This is the Lamb. He is here. As you are eating turkey, chicken, and extending gifts, just remember, the reason for the season is the death of a man. That is a fact. And that's why we share also, because he came to give. And so we share, we give of ourselves, we give of our resources, we give. It's all an expression of that same giving nature which we have received of him. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So he's truly our everything. That's how an outsider can never understand. That's why when I see stingy, selfish people, I always feel sorry for them. They are selfish people. Even in church, they are mutants. They are not fully Christians. No, the Christianity is still trying to find the expression, you know. So they are in between. They are mutants. They're not yet there, you know. They are stingy. Oh my God. You can't take air from them. I'm telling you. There are people like that. But we keep praying for such people. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see the account of this woman, right? And that is what the woman did. She the thing about the life of Jesus touched her so much that the Bible came to say she didn't know what else to do. So you brought this alabaster, a flask, a jar, you know, crack the thing and then empty the. You see an expression of love. Love equals giving. Love equals sharing. For God so loved the world that he gave. This is a giving faith. Are you listening? And when we say giving, a giving that comes from the understanding that you did not come to this world with anything. So right now you are on profit. From day, isn't it, Moji? Exactly. From day one, everything was profit. Everything. Your diaper was given to you. I don't know. Did you buy your diaper? You didn't buy your diaper. I don't know how. You did not buy your diaper. Somebody bought that diaper and then wiped your stinking bottom and they put something on this. And then somebody taught you how to walk, taught you how to talk, sent you to school, educated you. Everything from day one. From day one. You are so indebted. You have no idea. You don't owe anything. You don't own anything. You don't have anything. You don't have jack. Nothing. What do you have? Nothing. Nothing. I'm telling you. So that is. Now, you need to appreciate that. If you don't understand that, you will never know how to give the kind of giving that God honors. Anyway, you will fret over £5. They will call you to bring to contribute plantain chips to a party. You will ignore the text. You will ignore the everything. You will pretend. It's miserly spirit. You didn't. Whereas you don't have anything. What did you have? Angel. He came with nothing. The bone came flat. I have been there when people are giving birth. Do you know how the baby is born? Flat back. It was a shapeless flat back. And then you see the spirit of God inflate air into that same flat back. All of a sudden, you see most life just come off. Babies are born shapeless like that eye, like that string of spaghetti. And the mother, is anybody here who is not born of a woman? And the mother is in intense agony, giving life and passage to this one who will come out and say, I won't give. What do you have? Joe, tell me. What did you bring? Are you listening? So Christianity is about what? Sharing. And I'm not talking about money. I am talking about you. you. Help me tell your neighbor, say, I own you. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That I own you. That's it. You see, as we are telling your neighbor, somebody is telling your neighbor that. So it's a cycle and a network of ownership that belongs to God. That is the power that hell can never understand. That's the power that hell cannot. For God so loved the world that he what? He sent an animal. No. And then he gave. He said his only begotten son. That whosoever. And so like a joke. The man was born. Joke. And they nailed the guy. Nailed him. For the sake of this faith. To show you and I how it ought to be done. Without mammon. So what Mary did was a giving act. A giving act. Did you not hear the boss's comment? He said, "Whatever this gospel." I am happy that he said this gospel. He didn't say this story. He didn't say this event. He said, "Whatever this gospel." Gospel. He could have said, "Whatever this act will be mentioned." He could have said, "Whatever this story." Whatever this event. He said, "Whatever this gospel will be preached." I authorized every preacher, every scholar, to include you with me. Because you understand the essence of this thing. Please, don't be selfish and self-centered. The world is not about you and what you have and what you own. Please, let's be proper Christians. What Mary did was a what? A giving act. The Bible itself is a book on giving. God, it tells us how God gave man life, created the world, gave him the garden, gave him dominion. He gave man the garden, gave him everything. He gave the Israelites law. He promised them, gave them promises of protection. They were hungry. He gave them food. In the wilderness, they gave them. He gave. They were in bondage. He sent them. He sent a man to them. Gave them a man to liberate them. They were stuck. He opened the Red Sea. They were handicapped. He sent stones, hailstones on their enemy. He gave. The Bible is a book of giving. So as Christians, we must learn the act of sharing and giving, and then teach our children the same. Amen. Give them. So the very essence of Christianity is that in this world, it means giving. Just remember, you are on a supersonic profiting. Supersonic profiting is what you have. Some people went to school, they couldn't have the mindset to finish the program. Halfway through, they went mental. You finished, you graduated. Then out of your mates have not even started their career, you are finished. Your mates have not even started their career, you are finished. Amen. And I say, I have done this, I have done that. So my goals and my ambition. I there is no I in Christianity. No. So it's give back time. How many people are you sharing your life with? How many people? So when we are Christians, it means that everything that we have, we share with those around us. People should feel us, amen, for the sake of the gospel. Every knowledge shared, everything shared. Now, be careful here. I am not saying taking advantage of. There is no room for laziness in the body of Christ. Jesus is the hardest worker I've ever seen in my life. Jesus is the hardest worker. He worked so much that they had to come and remind him to eat. So I'm not talking about taking advantage of people. I'm not talking about being lazy. I'm not talking about coming to meet Angela. I don't have money for food tomorrow. Why don't you have money for food? Why do I have and you don't have? Did I pluck my own from the tree? Do you know how hard I work? Are you listening? Why? How come you don't have? How did you get here? Because if you don't understand the reason why you don't have, even if I give you, you won't have. Do you understand? Aha. Uh-huh. So don't encourage people to be lazy by giving. It's like giving a drug addict money. I don't encourage laziness. No. How come you don't have? Before we agree that you don't have, let us see the effort you have put in. I can't be born in midnight hour learning all I can learn to spin a pound, and then you put forward your leg and then you'll be sleeping like a lord, and they go and tell that you don't have money. You don't deserve to have money. Fair enough? Exactly. Can't be calling sick every week. Can't be calling sick, calling until they sack you. The other sack you, they say, "Oh, Pastor, I don't have a job." How come you don't have a job? How come the unbeliever has a job? But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, so you understand the context, right? Aha. So it's important I understand the context. One bloke came here 2 years ago. He took advantage of us as a church. Before we knew it, he has taken money from everybody. He will take from Pastor Femi. He won't say Pastor Femi are giving him money. He will go to Mr. Joe. Mr. Joe will give him money. But before we know, he has rounded all of us up. We're out of pocket. The day I found that, I drove him out of the church. I was the one I drove him out of the church. This was another lady came one time. Everybody was giving the lady. The lady will never say how much the church is giving. So we take from the church, take from the pastor, take from the pastor's wife, take from the At some point, I was saying, I want to be like you. Are you listening? So that's what we're talking about. So the Bible is always, the Christianity is always a pastor. So she gave her precious perfume. Gave it. It doesn't take rocket science to understand that woman was giving back. She was giving back to Christ, to the Lord, for what? Genuine appreciation is expressed in what? Giving. Giving. Genuine appreciation. So what she did was an act of what? Giving. Also, what Mary did was an expensive act. For God so loved the world that he gave one cheap pin to come and die for us. No. An expensive act. Your time is one of the most expensive things. My time is one of the most expensive things. Actually, my time is the most expensive thing I have. My time is the most expensive thing I have. My time. So when I'm talking about giving, always think about, don't just think about money. For me, my time is very expensive. Seriously, I'm not just saying, it's expensive. My time is so expensive, it's unbelievable. I'm telling you, my time is so expensive. I've cost it. My time is so expensive. Amen. I'm getting to a point where my time, if I put a value on it, right, will be about £300, 1 hour. I said 1 hour. Okay, you say, well, Pastor, how do I arrive at that? Because I have done something with my time and earn an income, £300, right, 1 hour. What other proof? I have done something with my time that gave me an income, £300 in an hour. So it means I can do that and I can generate that every other hour. So my time is equal to 1 hour. £300, 1 hour. So that's expensive, isn't it? Very expensive. So when I sit down and spend 1 hour with you, right, you better go and produce. You better go and produce results. I mean, tell me, what is MMA? I just gave you 300. Expensive. Amen. And John wrote this account and said that it was 1 year's wage she gave. So give somebody something off. Are you listening? So if yours is your time, you know, give somebody quality time. Give God quality time. Don't give God that half-baked, witchy, wheezy prayer that comes out of your nose, that it doesn't go anywhere, and then that's out of the door. Come on. Give. If your time you are giving, if it's a time in hour, let it be something. Let it be something. Spend a time with a child. Spend a time with a teenager. Spend a time with somebody of less privilege. Slow down and spend a time. Share your knowledge with someone. Give. You know, I've learned this thing I can share with you. Give. This thing is working for me. It will work for you. Give. All right? In other words, everything you have, you own, you have learned, is what? Is a resource for others. That's a giving. That's what I'm talking about giving. Everything you have, you own, have learned, is a resource for others. That is the giving life. That is the Christianity lifestyle. So they all shared one thing in common. They had one accord. Are you listening? Everything you've owned, you own, you owned, you share, you've lent, you everything, you, right, is a resource for others. Give it. Give it, including your pain. Including your pain. That's what I like about England, you see. You see, in England, you know, someone will say, I went through this difficulty. They will go and set up a charity quickly, and they'll be helping others. People from Amidala will say, I don't want to remember it. It's selfish nature. I don't want to remember. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to remember it now. Just the thought of it makes me. That's right. And it's a selfish nature. Selfish nature. Isn't it? You will see someone, one woman, they she had only one child. The guy overdosed on meth. Right? Is it meth they call it? You don't know. Is it meth they call it? Methadone. Okay, Methadone. See? That's the full name. That's our nurse there. Praise the Lord. Okay. So the ex-user say it is meth. The nurse say it is methadone. Methadone. Done. D-O-N-E. Okay, methadone. So this woman, only child, died. And the guy was giving this thing in a party. 17-year-old went to a party, was giving this thing, and the guy hooked up on it, and the guy died. What did she do? The woman wanted to set up a charity. She said, no teenager must go through this anymore. Try giving, doing campaign. She should change the law. Soft drugs, this drug, that drug. And you know, that became her life. And out of her pain, she created a campaign that is benefiting the world today. That is what I'm talking about. Everything you have, right, is a resource to the world, including your trauma. Expensive. Very expensive one. You see, even the Christians, the apostles, they criticized her. They found it hard to imagine how anyone who ought to be giving alms to the poor would just throw away something like this. They don't understand it. Look at how much gold, how much good this money is just wasting here. Yeah, when we can be feeding the poor and feeding this and feeding that. She was giving something expensive. But they were complaining. They were forgetting that Simon the leper too was giving. He threw a lavish party that the disciples were happy to sit and be eating. Simon the leper and this woman, right? Was it? Is it Mary or Martha? It's the same. Mary, same thing. That man was, by the time God healed him, he sat back and said, no, master, you have to come to my house. You have to come to my house. And the Bible says that he threw this lavish party for Jesus. So much so that Jesus said that he sat down and was reclining in his chair. You know, wow, that's nice. I'm hanging out with a leper. So the act was an expensive one. So it was a giving act. It was an expensive act. I want to always think about that, about sharing and giving. Always remember that God has called you to be a resourcer. You are a resource point to people. What did I say? You are a resource point to people. You are a resource point. Start from where you are. Look around you. Look at, and you know, as for some people, they can't, when they look at where they stand, the only thing they see is their own image. Some people cannot see beyond their world. Yeah, they can't see beyond their world. They only see themselves, and at most their children. If the husband is lucky, he'll be involved. If he's lucky, it's me and my children, me and my children, me and my children, me and my children. That, you know, there's outside that frame, me and my children. They can't see the world. They cannot connect with the world. They cannot. Not even if you stop them on their track, they can't see it. You see, those kind of things, they make Christianity bankrupt. And the only time they can remember anything like that is maybe Christmas. Why? Because the whole world, hello, it's Christmas. They say, yes, I will buy for my cousin. That's not Christianity. That's not Christianity. Not just Christmas. So you constantly give. Amen. We came with nothing. We have so much. It's giving time. Your knowledge, your skills, your time, your money. Everything. Because when you die, you are not taking anything with you. The same way you came, they will shower for you, clean you up, put you in a box, and send you on your way. Nothing. Nothing. We saw this program on TV. It wasn't even a program, it was a documentary. It wasn't a documentary, it was news. How many of you saw the Palestinian minister that died? This man, you saw it? Is that how death works? This guy came, was arguing with the Israeli. There was a small scuffle. The Israeli man holding, you know, the canister of bomb went off somewhere. He was distracted and he was fighting and shedding blood. And then halfway through, he said, the man sat on the floor. They said, he's not looking very well. Get to the hospital. The man was gone. Just like that. Why can 2 minutes ago you were saying how you were going to deal with the deal with them now? Are you listening? Giving lifestyle. Give. You can't. I don't know this whole spirit of acquisition. Where are you carrying it to? Many of you have so you are so skilled. You know so much. But only between you and your children and your wife and your husband know that you know so much. What kind of life is that? That's miserable. That's miserable. Many of you know so much that you can be running a school here every day. One school from one school on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday. Many of you know so much. But the content of what you know and your experiences, they are bundled up and they are sitting in the warehouse of your mind. And you just carry that around and you are happy. That's not Christianity. That's not Jesus' life. That is not the life of Jesus. A life that narrows down to you doing only the things that you are interested in, that suits only your mortal flesh, that you will die tomorrow and nobody remembers. That's not Christianity. I remember many years ago, we were living in a 3-bedroom house. Every Christmas time like this, all the students who don't have places to go to, don't have homes, students, they cannot afford to travel back to their base. In our local church, we should bring them to our home. They will come, they will all sleep, we'll feed all of them throughout the festive period, and then they will sleep everywhere, they will clean everywhere. Every year, someone sitting in the living room and it was like camp. They all go to the kitchen, they all eat, and they will eat what they feel like eating, they will cook what they feel like cooking, every year. But there are some Christians, right? They will never invite any soul to their home, Christmas or no Christmas. Never. Nobody knows where they live, they're like secret agents. Nobody. They don't share nothing with anybody. They keep that, they don't share. The more we did that, the more blessed we are. You can never outgive God. You can never. Anything you put in the kingdom of God for the sake of the kingdom, Jehovah will never owe anybody anything. He will disperse it back to you. The measure you give, the measure you receive. Some people is their car. Apart from those related to them, no other stranger have stepped into their car. Are you out of your mind? Nobody went to that car. Carry their empty car, carry it home, carry the empty car, bring it to church. They and the car itself has come home like a coffin. It's a mobile coffin. Nothing. No life. Everything you have is for sharing, including your what? Your pain. Highlight every area where you have this pain. Ask God to open your eyes to those who are going through the pain right now and tell them, I have a ministry in this pain area. My sister, I can help you. Hey, it is very bad, this thing. I understand. I can speak your language right now. I can pray with you. The way you will pray with that person, nobody can pray with that person like that, because you carry an anointing in that area. You carry a grace in that area. When you bless them and pray with them, the life that Jesus will flow through you to that person is not the same. Because you've been there. You've been there. What is the point? You know? Church. So the first thing, she was a giving act. Second was an expensive act. The third, what she did was a loving act. It's a loving act. Please, the way we will know that we are a great church is when we demonstrate our love by giving. Giving is a sign of love. Praise the Lord. Love always seems wasteful to those who don't love. Love always seems wasteful to those who don't love. Those disciples, you know them now. The disciples, they were only concerned about their hangout with Jesus. So why are you wasting all this finery? We can sell it and give them away for the poor. Even Judas was saying we can sell it. Whereas it was Judas who was going to nick that money. The rest were just happy hanging around Jesus. They didn't care about anyone. As long as they are hanging around Jesus, they are fine. Love always seems wasteful to those who don't love. Amen. So Judas had witnessed an action of love which he called extravagant. He will never understand it. He will never understand that depth of love. The woman stood back and said, look, how can I say thank you to this man who has changed my life for good? How can I even say thank you? How can I say thank you? The woman went, brought the oil and everything, just and then poured it on himself, and then took her and then removed her. Took her. You know, this is my dignity. This is my dignity. This is my dignity here. Pack the hair, wipe his feet. Oh. What did Jesus do? Leave her alone. Leave her alone. Leave her alone. Leave her. She's doing all she could. Are you doing all you could? That's love. That's love. That's love. That's love. Leave her alone. He said, I'm offering you. This is my dignity. He took her hair out. Women in those days are not allowed to unpack their hair. She unpacked her the hair in public and then pulled her and then swing it like that and went on her knees. And the master received it with joy. And he sat in that position. I said, you understand this gospel? Say, I give you my dignity. I give you my wealth. This is it. I have nothing. If it was the money, you know, she could have taken that oil and tipped some on his head and then put some and said, I use the rest of it to other needs, isn't it? And then Judas would be laughing and say, ah, yeah. But you know, if she had done that, she wouldn't have been remembered today. Was what? Love. Love. You know, there is a certain recklessness in love which refuses to count cost. There is a certain recklessness in love that refuses to count cost. You parents will know that. You know, when your child said, I want something. Your child said, I want something. It's like your favorite child. And I don't know how you parents do that. You just divide two children. One can get away with mother. The other one, if he says hi, it's double harassment. You know, your parents like that. They have their favorite child. They have their favorite child. Even that's of the devil. Any parent that has a favorite child does not deserve to have a child. Thank God I'm not Jesus. You know? But when this favorite child said, I want something, it doesn't matter. The child gets it. Isn't it? You know, the child gets it. Anything, you will make whatever sacrifice. You reckless when it comes to that child's request. You are reckless, you know. You are reckless, and then as you are being reckless, you are still justifying. You are still justifying the reason why that child deserves that reckless spending, isn't it? But every child deserves that. But that's what we're talking about. There's a certain recklessness in love that you don't count cost. You know, like when you are in love, You know? No, it's your wife before you married her. Yeah. How many of you used to do that? You travel long distance to go and see this girl. How many of you travel long distance to go? Most, really? Mr. Lava Man, is it? So tell me now, how far do you have to go? Where is your wife? Where is it? Yeah? JP, is that true? You travel long distance to see her, isn't it? How many? 6,000 miles to go and see her. Wow. You see, that kind of living. Before you got married, eh? Nice one. You know, you go. I don't know, when my wife and I were in school, you have to, at certain time, the hostel, their hostel get locked down. So you have to go and send someone to go and call her. If you want to see her in those days, you have to get someone to go and call her. And then you wait outside for a very long time. But it's only like 15 minutes, or like 15 years. You see, you don't count the cost of those kind of things. You know, the cost of making an impression for the first time. Yeah? Those kind of things. I mean, we're trying to fall in love now before you marry. All right? So he said it for travel 6,000 miles. So but that was for your own purpose. But that wasn't for our purpose. Yeah. All right? So Judas's preoccupation with the cost of the perfume was a basic flaw. He does not understand love. Judas did not understand love. Everything was come down to. So it was a loving thing. Loving thing. What act of love will you do? Will you give this Christmas? Yeah, not just money. What act of love? What will be your act of love? Think about it and please do it. What will be your act of love? What will be your act of love? You know, someone was talking about Miles Monroe. Yeah, that's Miles Monroe, a pastor. He was saying that when he had troubles one time many years ago, that he was saying that he said that Miles was the only person in the world who will call him every day. Was it every day? Or every month or every week, consistently until the problem was over. Is that he's the only person who will also fly in from the Bahamas to come and find out how he's doing and then get the next plane and fly back to the Bahamas. And that's a loving act. Loving act. When was the last time you did a loving act? Or you gave a loving act to someone other than your husband, your wife, and your children? When was the last time? A loving act to someone. When was the last time? And please, as Christians, please measure these things. Eh? The expensive act, the loving act, the giving act. When was the last time? When was the last time? Just think, when was the last time? Last month, what giving act, expensive act, and the loving act did you give last month to anyone other than your wife, your spouse, your children? Why? Some people, when they're talking about love and listen and love, it doesn't go beyond their husband and their children. It doesn't go beyond that. And that's a miserable life. That's a miserable life. Out of 7 billion people in the world, only 5 people. That's McNasty. Only 5 people. Only 5 people. Only 5. 7 billion people in the world, including Facebook. Nothing, no act. Number 4, what Mary did was a beautiful act. It was a beautiful act. Jesus said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not always have. Then Jesus gives perhaps the most beautiful description. It's a beautiful thing she's doing. She has done what she could. She has done what she could. What she did was beautiful. Beautiful to imagine. Beautiful to imagine. She's done everything she could. God does. He said she's done everything she could. God will not compare you're giving £20 to me, giving £50. Or, no. But do everything you can. Do everything you can. Do have a giving act, a beautiful act, a loving act, beautiful act, a loving act, a giving act, an expensive act. Not necessarily in cash or not necessarily in cash, but an expensive act in kind. It's nice. Amen. Beautiful act. Beautiful act. And so she did that. The Bible says she broke the jar. And I know why. Why? Mary, why would you break the jar? Why not pour a little? Why not pour a little like they expect you to do? Like I said earlier, if she had, well, she would have saved her jar, but we probably will not remember her today. Probably will not remember her today. Probably will not remember her today. So, church, I want us to live our lives as we celebrate this Christmas, this season. It speaks so much for us that we should be known by our giving nature, our sharing nature. We should be known by the expensive acts that we do, the beautiful acts that we do, the loving acts that we do. We should be, and not just in church, but at work. They don't know the Jesus you preach, but everybody knows a giving act. All of us know a loving act. All of us know an expensive act. We know a beautiful act when we see it. Those acts people will, by those acts people will judge whether you are a good Christian or not. Enough talking. Talk is too cheap. Let's do the talking with our acts. At work. At home. In your family. Let's look beyond our little box. Our little classroom. Home. Church. You know, car. You know. Just look beyond those things and let's look around the world. Look around you. Look around you all the time. Look around you. Let's be Christians. Let's be Christians. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But we need the grace for this kind of life as well. We need grace for it. It's easier said. We need grace for it. To share everything, including your pain and your trauma and your sorrows and your gifts and your talent and your money, to share with people. To learn for the sake of sharing. To learn and earn for the sake of sharing is a very good thing. It's a very good thing. You know, one of the ways I read and learn is this. As I'm reading and learning, I'm asking myself, how can I give this? How can I give this? How can I give this? I never knew it was there until my pastor many years ago called me and said that one of the reasons why he likes me is this. He said, every time I put you in position, he said, you always work yourself out of the job. I said, Pastor, what does that mean? Work myself out of the job. I'm just doing. He said, no, you don't understand. He said, I've been observing you. He said, every role I give to you, you teach someone everything you know about that role and make yourself redundant. That's what my pastor said. I said, wow. He said, is that a good thing? He said, you have no idea. It's a very, very good thing. You know, that's the first time I heard that word, work yourself out of the job for the first time. And then, you know, looking back, I just realized it's true. That's the way I learn. That's the way I earn. If I earn one penny from something, I want to teach somebody else to do the same thing. If I learn something, I want to teach one person. I want to teach some other people. So every time you are telling me something, I'm asking myself, so how can I pass this one on? And that's the life you need to live. You are a conduit of blessing. Don't be a pond. You know? Don't be a pond. Don't just sit and absorb life. Reflect life. Reflect life. Learn to share. Earn to share. The more you share, the more you earn. Please remember this. You have nothing. You don't have anything. You don't have anything. Even the time you are on is a borrowed time. Let's rise to our feet and pray.
Thank you for joining us for today's talk. Now just think, through Pastor Eddie's Building Your Future coaching and mentoring agency, you can experience these lessons monthly, packed with quotations, thought-provoking illustrations and stories, all usable in your personal development program. Visit us at www.byf.org.uk to join Building Your Future. which sets the leadership standard for ministry and marketplace. Pastor Eddie treasures the opportunity to be your personal mentor each month, all year long. Thank you again for joining us for this talk. We look forward to you joining Building Your Future as part of your personal growth program in becoming the best you can possibly be.